faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, the infant of Krypton is now the Man of Steel, Superman!
Welcome to the Geek Generation, episode 25. We are doing something a little bit differently today, as I am joined by a pair of co-hosts in Scott C.K. Toomey and Megan Pix Hanley. How are you guys doing?
We're acceptable.
You're acceptable?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
We're good.
You're good. Excellent.
Fantastic, even.
Yeah, we quite the technical setup going on. Would anyone like to explain what's going on over there?
You want me to?
Well, we look ridiculous right now.
Yes,
which is perfect.
We're staring at each other, and I can hear myself talking in my headphones and talking from the microphone. I can hear him twice, and I tried to MacGyver my phone, so I took some tissues and then rubber banded it around the speakers and then hid it in a blanket and under about five pillows.
Yeah.
And that did nothing.
No. And then we realized all we had to do was mute her phone.
Right.
Right. Which is...
Yeah.
And all of this could have been prevented by a simple headphone splitter.
Exactly.
Which I have somewhere.
Which she
somewhere.
Has somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yep.
Well, a couple weeks ago, Scott, you and I were talking about the ridiculous amounts of snow that we've been getting lately.
Yeah.
It's not stopping.
No, it's not. And it's like no stopping in sight, tell you the truth.
Yeah, we had a snow day on Thursday, and I, while I was out shoveling, I think my mind's just starting to go, like, to different places as this continuous repetitive snow shoveling is happening. I couldn't
Ridiculous.
Help thinking of, like, having superpowers and how much easier it would be.
I know.
If I was Superman, I could just set the heat vision on a wide berth and just
yeah,
blast it all away.
Of course, then you might flood out certain areas of the street, but that's okay.
That's okay. I don't have to worry about
I'm
it.
I'm sitting here silently rolling my eyes, by the way.
I imagined as much. CK knows what I'm talking about.
I do.
Do you know what he says to me last week? He's like, I want to do my typical snow day gimmick. I'm like, oh, what's that? Oh, I watched Snow Day.
That's an awesome
what
movie.
What was that?
Snow Day's a great movie.
I have no idea what that is.
It was like one of those like mid to late 90s Nickelodeon produced movies.
Oh my.
Like Recess, but it was obviously it's not an animated movie, it's a live action movie. Chris Elliott's in it and Chevy Chase is in it and John Schneider is in it.
Wow.
John Schneider plays the like the fake weatherman. He's like just like a good-looking hip dude that the station hired to do the weather,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't know how to say Doppler properly. He says Doppler. He says, let's go take a look at the Doppler radar. It's actually a pretty funny movie.
I guess between all the Superman talk that's inevitably going to happen today and the John Schneider reference, I'm going to have to use that drop later on.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Also, I'm seeing all the stuff on the internet about people complaining about global warming, like, what the hell, Gore, so much for global warming. Do people even realize that this is a result of global warming? It just doesn't mean that things are getting hot. They're actually, like, you get the counter side. Everything just goes to extremes. So we get super colds and tons of snow, too.
Yeah, global warming in the broad scheme of things is just the weather just being ridiculous.
Right.
Whether it's hot or insanely cold, it doesn't matter. It's just the weather just goes haywire.
Yeah. And most of this is coming from Republicans because they're looking for any cheap shot. I'm not going to get into the whole crazy political crap because I belong to the group of I don't care what the hell parties what, just talk to me about issues. But I hate it when people take pop shots at the other just because they're in the other party and they said something.
Yeah, they're all chuds. Yeah.
You know what I love?
What?
Twilight Zone episode where the girl wakes up and the earth is moving closer to the sun and like everything's melting and it's super, super hot. And then she wakes up and it was really a dream and the earth was moving farther away from the sun and everything was actually getting colder.
Oh, so it was like a happy dream almost. Even though it was scary, it's better than...
Yeah. Actually, I think... what's his name? The robot.
The robot?
Is this original Twilight or newer
Twilight? Original Twilight.
Okay. Always original. When it comes... Meg never watches any... like, she always watches the original.
The guy really? That did Cloverfield.
That did what?
The guy that did Cloverfield.
J.J. Abrams?
Yeah, oh, he was having this great rant with Jimmy Fallon when
like
Cloverfield
last year
came out
or 2 years
about
ago.
How much they mutually admired Rod Serling and Twilight Zone. And I was like, this is amazing. Like,
yes, it was a great conversation.
It was a great conversation. Sorry.
Okay, well, on another note, we'll get off the snow because that's not fun to talk about for so long.
True.
I did have my 30th birthday party. Which some people
yes,
didn't
we were
make.
Not there. Yeah. We apologize on air.
Yes, we do apologize on air.
I accept your apology also on air.
Awesome.
Understandable, though. I've had vertigo issues myself, so.
Mm-hmm. It's not fun.
Huh?
It's not fun.
It's not.
For
Dude,
either
what do you
of
mean
us.
It's not fun? You didn't have it.
For either of us.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm going to have to wait hand and foot on you. What does that mean?
Hand and
wait
foot.
Wait on you hand and foot.
There you go. but it was a great party, and I didn't really get any gifts from the listeners. I wasn't really expecting to, but I do have to thank co-host Brian Lipsitz for sending me a copy of Brightest Day, which I can't wait to read.
B. Lipsitz is the man.
He is.
We love B. Lipsitz. We call him B. Lipsitz, and I also refer to him as B. Ryan sometimes.
B. Ryan.
Because his name is spelled B. Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, so I say B. Ryan.
This is true. Also, the funny thing about being home on my birthday on a snow day, I didn't have school, so I could once again shamelessly pander to celebrities on Twitter nice. For birthday wishes. And I did, just like last year, I got three successful ones from Shane Hurricane Helms.
Nice.
Jamie
well, I'm not,
King.
I'm actually, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I need to interrupt you, but I'm in a fight with Shane Helms right now.
So. Wait, what?
I'm in a fight with him. I don't like the stuff he's saying about Shawn Michaels on his Twitter.
Oh, I had a feeling that would happen.
Yeah, dude.
He's actually responding to you, or are you just fighting with him in your head?
No, I'm just fighting with him. I'm fighting with him in my mind.
Okay.
I don't want to give him the pleasure of hearing from angry HBK fans.
I gotcha. So you're on the outs with the Hurricane right now?
Yeah, I'm on the outs with that whole North Carolina druggy crew.
Some people are, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of on the outs with all of wrestling right now, so.
Well, who isn't?
Yeah. But I also got a birthday wish from everybody's favorite celebrity geek here, Jamie King, who is awesome. And last but not least, the amazing Jordy LaForge himself, LeVar Burton.
Reading Rainbow.
There you go.
Yes, I can't tell you how thrilled I was for that. All that happened was he was on his Twitter. He said, it's, what the hell day was it? Friday? He goes, it's Friday. What's good? I said, it's my 30th birthday. That's pretty good, right? And then I got a direct message saying, happy freaking birthday.
Direct messages are where it's at.
That's right. I would share it with people. Well, I did share the image, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah. I like to prove it and name drop because I'm shallow like that. Before we get into our geek outs and freak outs, I do want to promote the latest contest that we have going on the site. We are working with a band right now called Escape the Fate, and there is a contest for an Xbox 360 and Kinect giveaway.
Whoa.
Yes, to celebrate the release of Issues Remix EP and the Dead Masquerade Tour, Escape the Fate has teamed up with the Geek Generation to give fans the chance to score a brand new Xbox and Xbox Kinect prize pack. The EP has five remixed versions of Escape the Fate's hit single Issues off their recently released self-titled album. Also, don't miss Escape the Fate in a city near you as they headline the Dead Masquerade Tour going on now. Visit thegeekgeneration.com and click the contest banner on the sidebar for more info on how to enter the contest.
Very nice.
So yeah, that's a big thing for us, and I'm happy to promote it here.
I hope you get a lot of entrants.
I'm hoping.
Entrants?
Isn't that what it is?
Entrants? Sure, entrants.
Yeah, entrants. All right. Like contestants.
Not like ENTRANCE, but like...
Right. No. Entrants.
Right. Plural.
Entries.
But the people who submit the entries would be the entrants.
That's true. Right.
Bam!
Grammared. Kelsey grammared even. Okay, well then, wow, we're going to have to go to both of you, I guess, this week. We have some geek outs.
Yay!
Scott, would you like to go first?
I don't have
one. Or should we let the lady go first?
What do you mean you don't have one yet?
I can't remember what it is.
Dude, it just happened like a half hour ago.
It didn't happen a half an hour.
Yes, it did.
It was about a half hour ago.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was going to do something else.
Oh, we have that other one too.
All right,
do you guys want to discuss it amongst yourselves and I'll come back to you later?
First.
Let's see. I actually have a geek out, but we'll be discussing it later in regards to the casting.
Yes.
The new Batman film.
Okay.
So I'll refrain from that from right now.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a geek out as more as it's like I'm continually geeking that for the past 3 years, Pixar has been nominated for best film in the Oscars.
As they should be.
Yeah, except my freak out is the fact that Cars 2 is coming out.
Why are you jumping into your freak out already?
Yeah, I know, but it's a double-edged sword.
Okay.
Oh, they were connected.
Yeah, they're connected.
So say that again?
They're connected. It's a double-edged sword.
Well, no, say the freak out again.
Oh, that Cars 2 is going to come out next, and it's going to ruin everything.
I don't think it's going to ruin everything. It's just not going to be worth seeing.
Obviously, it's not going to be worth seeing. That's just a fact. But it's going to, like, Pixar's been doing so well, you know, top movie of the year, top reviews of the year, and now we have to look at Cars 2.
Yeah.
Can we just skip that and go to Monsters, Inc. 2?
It's probably the one Pixar movie that is the least worthy of a sequel.
Yeah, very true. Although the merchandising on that makes it worthwhile for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Rob, would you like to explain our...
the Pixar Pact.
Yeah,
Pixar Pact. Yeah, Meg and I have a Pixar Pact where every time a new Pixar movie comes out, we must see it in the theater together. But I think Cars 2, we're not going to bother going to see
it. It doesn't qualify.
No, even though it's a Pixar movie, it's not worthy of us.
No. Huh.
CK just laughing in the background.
Any
other geek outs?
I'm actually kind of geeking out about the iPhone coming out on Verizon, believe it or not.
Really? I'm surprised you would be.
Yeah, because then all these people on AT&T can get off my network.
Yeah.
Stop hogging it. I think the new commercials are very clever.
I haven't seen them.
There's an Apple commercial where it's literally just two hands holding iPhones doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the commercial, it says two is better than one.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes because it's going to come out on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought it was the 13th that was coming out.
Yeah, before Valentine's. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like for Valentine's Day. Like, imagine how many men can give their girlfriends iPhones now.
Fools.
Disguised in a box of chocolates.
That's an expensive Valentine's Day present.
Yeah, it is. We don't do anything.
Yeah.
Nope. too much other stuff.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Scott has a good geek out though. Dude.
Is it?
It's a Twitter one.
Oh,
you had
how many am I talking about?
Dude, what the hell? Do okay, I need to tell this story like I'm you?
Scott's always so organized. I think this is screwing him up.
It's just that I don't know. I mean, so many awesome things have happened over the last couple days.
Wow.
No, you want to talk to him about...
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I just mouthed it.
Okay.
People can't see that.
I know, but I had to tell him what it was.
She didn't want to give it away before I said it myself.
Oh, brother, go ahead.
So nobody else is going to care, but it's okay because I care.
Okay.
Right, it's your geek out.
It's my geek out.
It's true.
Kenny Florian is a fighter for the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
in the lightweight division. He is actually a Boston College alumnus, and he grew up in Boston.
Sweet.
And he made a promotional appearance at the Blazers, Boston Blazers professional lacrosse game Friday night. And I went with my fellow jobber, Michael Boyd. And I was tweeting with Mr. Florian before I actually met him. I've been tweeting with him for a while. He doesn't answer me back as much as my other friend on Twitter.
Sorry to interrupt, but no matter how many times you say it, saying you're tweeting with someone just sounds dirty.
It does, doesn't it?
Well, it's better to say you're twatting.
That's true. Or twitting.
Well, twatting is the past tense.
That's true.
You did a twat.
Right.
You twatted someone.
Yeah, you twatted it. But, okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's horrible. Sorry. Continue.
We tweeted a little bit before I actually met him, and then I went out to the table. He was it was free autograph with admission, and when I met him, I shook his hand. I said, "Kenny, nice to meet you." And then I introduced myself as the underscore Scott, because I obviously knew he'd know from that.
Right.
And he's like, no way. I like your Twitter. You're funny. Da 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 da. And I got a picture with him, and he was like, I better see this up on your Twitter later. I was like, So it was a pretty classic interaction between the underscore Scott Toomey.
Does he follow you now, or?
He doesn't. I don't know. I don't think he follows. I don't know.
He retweeted one of Scott's picks.
Yeah, I took a picture of him. He had like, it was like the ceremonial ball drop that they do at the beginning of lacrosse games or whatever. I took a picture of it and tweeted it with his name onto it, and he retweeted it. So he retweets a lot of my stuff, but he doesn't follow me.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But I get.
Are you a fan of lacrosse, or did you go just for the meet and greet?
I just went just for that. But my buddy Mike goes to the games like all the time, and I went to a game with a couple of them with a couple of my other friends last year, and it's a lot of fun. It's basically just hockey,
right?
But not on ice.
Okay.
But it was the game was fun.
Sweet.
Are we allowed to say I geek out by proxy?
Sure.
Oh, so tell him who your sister Heather met.
Oh, this is hilarious. So the night I was at the lacrosse game, my sister called me, and she was like, dude, I'm at a comedy club in Connecticut. You're never going to guess who's here. And I was like, okay. She's like, it's a celebrity. I was like, I was thinking, and she's like, I'm just going to tell you because you're never going to guess. So she goes, it's Tom Wilson. Do you know who that is? And I was like, oh, you know what? The name rings a bell, but I can't think of who it is. And she's like, it's Biff from Back to the Future.
Oh, my God.
I was like, that's awesome. You got to get a picture with him. I don't think she did, but I guess he was headlining the comedy, because that's what he does. He does stand-up comedy.
Oh, no kidding.
So that was kind of funny.
Did she actually meet him or just see him?
I'm not sure. I think she just saw him. I don't know if she actually got a chance to meet him or not.
But, interesting.
So that was kind of funny. I guess that's it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, my other geek out is coming up later in the program.
Right, right.
So.
Okay. I have two real quick. Okay. The first is the Duke Nukem Forever trailer. Which we'll also be talking about a little bit later. I am just so excited. One, I'm excited because now there's a trailer out there. There's a release date announced. But I'm also geeking out because the trailer was released on my birthday, which just felt extra special.
Ooh, a very good birthday present.
Damn right. The other one is actually one of my birthday presents that I think Pix will be very proud of. Is I now hold in my hand my brand new 64 gigabyte iTouch.
Shut your face.
Well, if I did that, then the show would pretty much be over.
That's true.
But yes.
I'm very excited for you.
I do have a 64 gig fourth generation iTouch, and I'm not calling it an iPod Touch because I like calling it an iTouch. It's a lot.
That's what I called mine.
Yeah, it's easier to say.
It's super thin, isn't it?
It is, which it's funny because I hold it next to my 80 gig classic, and the width difference is amazing for the 16 gig difference, you know?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Not to mention what's in this thing, like the dual cameras. I've already used the FaceTime with some of my friends that have the iPhone. So that's fun.
Do you are you going to keep your classic for just music?
I am. I am not putting music on the new one. I'm using it for video and internet purposes.
Awesome.
And basically as a computer, I'm going to use it as. And the nice thing about it is I have Skype on there, so I can have a phone around my house, because whether the audience realizes it or not, I don't use a traditional landline. I have a Skype account, and now I can use that through here. Nice. And I'm also thinking I'm going to reduce my cell phone service in the future and go with like an unlimited texting plan and a pay-per-use voice plan.
Nice.
Yeah. Because
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I really don't talk on the phone that often anymore. Everyone wants to text, and I usually get pretty close to my allotted 200 texts a month. I try not to, because I don't enjoy texting that much, but I know it's one of those necessary evils now that's not going away.
Yeah.
So I think I'm really just going to use this phone number and this device as my cell phone, and I'll only talk in Wi-Fi areas, which are springing up all over the place with my Skype account. And then if there's really an emergency or something, I'll have some prepaid minutes for my cell phone.
So basically what you're saying to me is it's completely acceptable for me to put an Apple sticker on your car.
No, I'm far, far from this point of being that kind of an elitist, but, but, I've never had a hatred for Apple.
I know.
I do own various devices, and I did really want this, and it's going to take the place of a lot of devices I have. One of the things I am really checking out are some of the different apps and stuff, and there's some really cool stuff on there. I know I'm kind of late to the boat at this point because I haven't done the iPhone thing or anything like that, but I'm playing some various games like Angry Birds.
Angry Birds is awesome.
Fruit Ninja, I like.
Yes.
And Ninjump is my other played one.
You definitely need to check out Peggle.
I've played Peggle on the computer, and I guess I just haven't gotten around to it on the phone yet.
It's the only game I play.
Is it?
Well, yeah, because it's taken me forever to beat it. I've already beat it, per se. I've already beat it, but you can go back, and I'm trying to clear every peg on every level.
Ah, that's tough. That's very tough. But I love the Netflix streaming app. And here's one that I don't know if you have, CK, but I think you would really like. There is an app that was $5 that I think it's worth it, called My Movies. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen that one.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, this is amazing because I bought it for $5. It is worth having, in my opinion. I know you have a very extensive movie library.
Is it a cataloging application?
It is. So
I've been looking for one.
I have this one called My Movies for those that are listening out there. It was $5, but it is worth it because this is the reasoning. They have their pre-programmed library already. It's a ton of different stuff. I think it's an application from the UK, and that doesn't seem to really matter. So the interface is very cool looking. It is literally a bookshelf that sorts it by whatever criteria you want. I have it alphabetical, and it shows me the covers of the DVDs sitting on the bookshelf, which is awesome visually. But here's the best part. As far as cataloging it in, a lot of things are going to want you to scan or anything like that. This one comes with a barcode reader. So I use the camera on my touch. I scan the barcode. A lot of the times they'll ask me if I want the US version or the Canadian version. So I just choose which one. I say I own it, and that's it. But I know you're going through a process of getting rid of some of your library. It also allows you to select this is for trade or sale.
Oh.
So it also syncs up with a My Movies account, which is free, and displays your entire library online. And I believe people can see the status of what is the stuff that you own or the stuff that you want to sell.
That's cool. I've been using a site for a long time now, at least 5-6 years.
Yep.
DVDAF.com, formerly known as DVDAficionado.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the site that I use to catalog all my DVDs. And like I said, I've been using it forever. And I follow the dude, the administrator on Twitter, and I send him a tweet every like couple of months saying, when's the iPhone application coming out? Because you guys are missing out on so much without having an iPhone app.
Right.
And every time I send him something, he's, we got too many other things to work on first, blah, blah, blah. But I think they're really missing out without an iPhone app to go in conjunction with their regular website. But
absolutely.
I'm going to have to check out My Movies. It sounds like it might be a good thing to have because I'm always, at this point, I'm always having to open up my Safari browser and go to DVDAF.com, and it's like super small, and I have to like I have to zoom in and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of aggravating. So this would certainly be better.
I do wish the My Movies site was a little more visually appealing. It's pretty much just a scrollable list on the left, and you click it and it loads up each one. Mm-hmm. But the interface on the iPhone or the iTouch is amazing. I love it.
I'll have to check it out.
Awesome. That's pretty much all I'm geeking out on this week. But as far as freakouts go, what are you guys freaking out over?
Oh, freak out!
Well, Meg said hers.
Yes.
Oh, was that the
one? Oh, you have another one?
I kind of gave Scott a little bit of room in our living room to display some choice action figures, and I think he might go a little bit too far with that.
I think I might go a little overboard.
Yeah. I'm really worried. There's two things that he has. He's got these Halo night vision goggles.
Oh, those I'll just hide somewhere.
That are creepy.
Wait, you're going to hide? Are they actual working night vision goggles?
Yes!
Yeah, they're working.
Why would you hide those?
A man's head.
Those should be out on full display and available for use at any given time.
What if I get rid of the head?
No.
And, like, hang them from a hook.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
No way. I'm pretty sure those should be right next to the bed in case there's an intruder, because then CK has the advantage.
Okay. No, because he has a whole bag of survivalist gear sitting in his bedroom.
Well, then it should be in the bag.
Okay, fine. Then it can go in. Rob, great idea.
I have like four camping knives that I don't use ever. They just sit in my closet, but they're so awesome I can't bring myself to part with them.
I don't blame you.
Yep.
And the other item that I'm a little concerned about is the signed Freddy Krueger glove.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little creepy.
It's not something you want to be staring at when you're watching television alone. Yeah.
Well, the idea is in the first room that you walk into is going to be my
your library.
Library. I keep calling it office. It's not correct. It's library.
It's a library. It's and, like it's very Bruce Wayne. It's a library.
It's library. Mm. And there is enough wall space to put two of my bookcases that will have my DVDs in them, and we're going to get doors for them. And I think the Freddy glove will go. Will kind of like be displayed in that, in front of the, you know, like I'll have various other things as well, like my replica James Bond P99 Walther airsoft pistol.
Yes,
that will go in there as well.
Oh, I love
this. So I'm excited.
Sweet.
Yeah, is that your only one? Freak out
for right now.
Okay, I honestly don't have to freak out.
Okay,
so.
All right. The only thing, well, I'm surprised that you didn't bring this up, because this is...
Maybe I just forgot.
This is all you, Scott. My freakout this week is Smallville being bumped back.
Oh, yeah. We can both agree on that. I was so pissed I even sent tweets to the CW Network Twitter page.
Really?
Yeah, I called them assholes.
As they are. I can't believe they bumped the return of their biggest show for Vampire Diaries. Do they really think the same crowd that watches Smallville is going to watch Vampire Diaries?
Here's the thing that I read. I read that they decided to do that instead because it was the first time two of their new shows that are coming back with new episodes were going to be up against American Idol. So they decided they wanted to replay it on Friday to try to reclaim some of that audience that they were going to lose to Idol. And the other thing that I heard was that, it was being preempted in Chicago and Baltimore, I think, on Thursday. Hmm. So that was the other reason. I still don't give a shit.
Right.
I'm very upset.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really, you know, I'm not like crying about it, but I think it's garbage because like, this is exactly what I said in my Twitter. I was like, Smallville has been like the only show keeping your friggin' network afloat for the last 10 years, and this is how you repay it and its fans? Total garbage.
I 100% agree.
I was upset.
And they announced it, what, the night before?
Yeah, the night before. Total horse feathers. Yeah. But they also did announce the night before that Kalen Blue, who played General Zod in the last season, is coming back for a single episode this year.
Which is very cool.
I wish you could have seen the hand gestures that just went with that. He was like holding his finger up like he was telling the CW where to go.
I'm a very animated speaker, Rob.
This is true.
You know this. And from what I'm hearing, my niece has inherited it from me.
Oh, no.
Dude, can I just say for a moment, cutest child on the face of the earth. Favorite movie right now? Ghostbusters.
Yep.
Her favorite movie is Ghostbusters.
She's 3 years old.
Yeah, she loves Ghostbusters.
That's
right now.
Awesome.
Hilarious.
Yeah, she can say, who let the dog in?
Yeah, she knows who brought the dog.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's funny. Okay, enough. What's do you have one? Another one? Or is
that's
that
my only.
Okay, well, it's a worthy one because that was garbage.
It was garbage. Very upset with that. In that case, let's take a look at the listener emails. And I believe there was something Meg wanted to add to this group. Question we had asked last show was, what are your thoughts on the Dark Knight Rises casting news? And what are your opinions on the Spider-Man and Captain America costumes? So go ahead.
So I just wanted to say how excited I was to see that Anne Hathaway was cast, because I think she's a perfect Joker.
What?
She's perfect for the role of the Joker. She's got this clown face.
Oh, I hate
with
you.
With the clown smile.
What the hell are you talking about?
She won't be Heath Ledger. Let's be realistic here, but she's just got that fugly, weird-looking face. That is perfect.
Did you just call Anne Hathaway fugly?
Oh my god, I hate her with a burning passion.
Why?
Oh my god. Hate her.
She thinks she's a... What do you think? She's obnoxious. She has a clown. She doesn't think she's attractive at all.
She's hot.
No.
I love her.
No.
Her mouth is a little big, but it's...
Her mouth is unique. Huge and creepy. It's like... It's like Spider-Man and Venom. It's like a Venom mouth where you can see all the teeth coming out.
You have some weird caricature going on in your head.
Yeah. Don't like her.
I can't. Hey, this is what I say. In Nolan, we trust.
Damn right. I had some weird thoughts when Heath Ledger was cast, and I couldn't have been.
Dude, you and everybody else. Everybody was like, what's he going to play, a gay Joker? Because he's in Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
That's all I heard from stupid fanboys all over the internet when they cast Heath Ledger as a Joker. And then he was, without a doubt, the best part of the whole friggin' movie.
Absolutely.
So, obviously, Chris Nolan knows what he's doing. And she clearly... The thing that's interesting to me is... Not in anywhere in the press release did it say Anne Hathaway has been cast as Catwoman.
Yeah, and that's what everybody is claiming, but it's not true.
So maybe she'll just be Selina Kyle throughout the entire movie, and then maybe she'll only be Catwoman for a very, very short period of time in the film.
That's my theory.
I think that's the best way to do it, to tell you the truth, because you don't want a whole movie of Catwoman. We saw how that went.
Right. Which really had nothing to do with the character of Catwoman in any way, really.
Absolutely not.
I'd rehash my theory that I gave last episode, but I already did that, so I'll let that stand as it is. How about the Spider-Man Captain America costumes?
I love them both. Well, the Spider-Man one, the more they post zoomed out full shots of like the stunt guy running in it and everything like that.
Yep.
Those shots weird me out a little bit because the suit just looks incredibly bright.
Yes.
And you see like the little silver lines on the shoes. I don't know if that's just stuff that they'll get rid of in post-production or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the best part of it, obviously, is mechanical web shooters.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest thing that most people had complaints about when in the Sam Raimi series, when he made them organic and not mechanical. And it just adds so much more uncertainty to when he's in the middle of a battle.
Yep.
With a villain, he could run out of web and be effed.
True.
And I like that. I like that. I think it makes things much, much more interesting. So,
see, I thought that was always the fallback in the cartoon, is that whenever they couldn't think of a crisis to create, he always ran out of web fluid. It was just too much.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they won't overdo it in the movie.
Hopefully not.
Movies.
As far as the silver lines and things like that go, I've actually seen some set pictures where they're much more zoomed in, and a lot of those bright colors are still there, but I have noticed there are things where he has suits where there's Velcro affixed to the feet and the hands. So maybe that's a result. That silver lining is a result of those things, but also people have to remember that daylight images and set photos are not going to be anything near what the final product looks like, because they do so much in post-production that...
Right. The first picture of him in the suit, when he was like all dark and he had the cuts on his face, that was awesome.
I agree. How about Captain America?
I love that. I love that costume.
Yeah?
I think it captures the essence of like a World War II era outfit, and has all the Captain America
stylings.
Yeah, the Captain America iconic images, like the wings are painted onto the helmet. Mm-hmm. And I think it looks awesome. I can't wait to see that movie, to tell you the truth. The, yeah. The one superhero movie coming out that I'm not really looking forward to is Green Lantern. To me, it just doesn't look very good. Hmm. But we'll see how it goes. I don't know.
Yeah, that one's kind of up in the air for me, too. It's I mean, I'm going to see it regardless, but I don't know which way it's going to go, really.
Yeah, I'll see it, too. But
I'm not sure if you watched Buried.
I have not.
Ryan Reynolds?
No.
I mean, he's a phenomenal actor.
He is.
He really has a versatile range of characters he can play, but I just feel like from looking at the previews, he looks hokey.
Mm. Mm, yeah.
I can't take him seriously.
The suit looks hokey.
Yeah, it's very hokey.
Yeah.
And the one line that Blake Lively delivers in the trailer is terribly delivered.
Yeah. I love Blake Lively. She's friggin' hot as hell, but I don't know.
Especially at Comic-Con. Oh my God.
Well, I wasn't there, so
I wasn't there either. Not that one, but San Diego, the images from San Diego.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
I thought we were done. I don't know.
All right, let's take a look at the listener emails. We only have two of them this week, so it'll be pretty brief. The first one comes in from Mike Volpe. He says, number one, I think the Dark Knight cast looks great. I like the fact that I know some of the actors, but not all of them. The guy playing Bane is unknown to me and apparently a lot of other people. This could be his breakout role. Maybe they'll get Batista to play the jacked up version of Bane. Tom Hardy is fairly new to the mainstream, but I think most people that saw Inception are pretty familiar with him at this point.
Yeah, he's a talented guy.
He is.
And I'm interested to see what kind of because obviously with this is what they've been doing since Batman Begins. They put like a real world twist on a classic villain.
True.
You know what I mean? And I'm curious to see what kind of a real world twist they're going to put on Bane, because in the comics he's very comic-y. You know
right.
what I mean? He's
right.
not a very realistic character. So we'll see. I'm interested to see what they do.
His second point is, he says, number two, Spider-Man costume looks fine. You really can't change too much about it without serious backlash from the fans. Basically, the Spider-Man costume is a no-brainer for a costume designer. The Captain America costume, on the other hand, doesn't look so good. I'm certainly no Captain expert, but it doesn't look right. The helmet is terrible. The movie makers have done to his costume what they did to the X-Men's costumes. Bulky leather doesn't look good. Hopefully the movie itself will be good and people won't mind the costume. I don't know. I think it's appropriate for the time period it's taking place in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's very intriguing to me that it's going to be a period. It's going to be a period film,
right.
Which is cool. It's kind of silly because on the other end of that, I'm not thrilled with the fact that X-Men First Class is going to be a period film.
Right, right.
Because it's the 60s, and I don't know. To me, that's not interesting.
The only part of Wolverine that I liked was the opening credits, where you see him and his brother going through time, fighting different wars, sort of adapting with the different time periods.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was.
That was literally the best part of the whole movie for me.
I kind of agree.
Yeah, the movie wasn't that great.
No, I'm very excited for the Aronofsky version, though.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah. The second and last email comes in from G1. He says, I think that Anne Hathaway is going to bring in some much-needed sexiness to Batman Rises. It'll really make the title make more sense, too. Booyah, I love it. No, seriously, I think that Anne Hathaway and Tom Hardy are both really talented actors, certainly capable of living up to the high standards set by Liam Neeson, Aaron Eckhart, Cillian Murphy, and Heath Ledger as supporting characters. As for the new costumes, I really like the new Spidey costume, or rather, I like how it makes Andrew Garfield look. My only comment is that I think it's weird how the bottom four spider legs in the logo are so much longer than the others, not a biggie. Cap, on the other hand, looks a little dumb to me. Something about that helmet is just irritating. I guess it looks like his mask in the comic books, but maybe that's not a good thing. P.S. I made you say booyah. So it seems to be a general consensus that the Cap costume could take a little work, and the helmet seems to be the biggest complaint people have.
Well, I disagree.
I disagree, too. I think if you put the classic mask on him, that would look even cornier.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to ground it that's the thing with these movies, is that you can't make them too hokey, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to watch a hokey Captain America movie, go watch the one with J.D. Salinger's kid in it.
Or just never, ever watch that, ever.
Yeah, that's probably a better suggestion.
Yeah, I've seen that. Doesn't the shield make, like, the most ridiculous sound every time he throws it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well then, this week's poll question, I talked a little bit about my new iTouch and whatnot, so I would like to ask the audience, what are your favorite iTouch / iPhone apps? Send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. Before we go to a break, do you guys want to give any of your favorite apps, or would you like to wait for writing?
We like the Peapod app.
Yeah.
Because
we're lame.
Yeah, for Stop and Shop grocery delivery.
Peapod's awesome.
Peapod is awesome. I also like Shazam. Shazam's a great app.
Also fantastic. I just like saying it out loud in hopes that I'll turn into Captain Marvel.
Hey.
Sorry.
I can visualize what just happened over there. Oh, my God.
The Twitter app. I used an older one before Twitter actually made an app, and the Twitter app's much, much better. The Weather Channel app has
been
very
handy great.
The last couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm actually looking for a really good Twitter app, because right now I have two on there. I use TweetDeck on my computer, and I have it on the phone, but it crashes all the time on the iTouch.
I just use the regular Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I also have Echo Phone on my
iTouch.
That's
the one I
used
to use, and I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah.
I like the Twitter one. Meg's got one. Hold on.
My favorite GPS app is Navigon. It has 3D interfacing.
Oh.
So, like, when you're driving in a tunnel, it actually looks like you're in a tunnel, which led me to get to Logan Airport 3 times because I was so enamored by the GPS interface. I was like, oh, cool, I'm driving in a tunnel on my phone. And then I ended up at the airport. But the other one that I really like is called iTV.
Okay.
And it integrates your Netflix account. And it also lets you see basically what's going to be on your TV. And you can view upcoming episodes. You can set a record to your TiVo if you want to. And you can also use it as a remote control.
Is this free?
For your TV. Yes, it is free.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
The other thing I like about it is that you can recommend shows to friends.
That's cool.
You can say, Rob, Christian Bale's going to be on Jimmy Fallon. I could send you an email.
Sweet.
And I often use it integrated with my Facebook. I can say, Megan is watching Seinfeld.
Mm. And to end the episode.
And it will say the episode that I'm watching.
Hmm.
That's pretty cool.
That's more of a
Twitter update, I think.
One
more that I like. Again, it's more productivity related.
Okay.
It's called Keychain. It lets you store all of your rewards cards IDs, like your Stop and Shop card, your Best Buy reward zone, and it puts it on your phone as a barcode, and you just show it to the checkout person, and they just scan your phone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you don't have to carry all of those stupid little pieces of plastic anymore. And so Scott and I have it on our phones, and we have one account, so it's synced. So if, like, I got a new reward card somewhere, I would add it to my phone, and it would sync to his phone.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's handy.
Yeah.
Very handy.
Now, here's another thing. Here's a question maybe you guys can answer me if you've run into this situation. I am part of the TGI Friday Stripes Club. So I get emails from them with coupons and whatnot. Instead of printing, can I go to the restaurant and just show them the coupon?
It depends on where you go. Some places have you, if you read in the fine print at the bottom, it says that you have to surrender. I love that. Surrender the coupon when you use it. And other places will just let you scan it from your phone. It just depends. It really depends on the place.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
But you can, with the Keychain app, you can store your TGI Fridays Stripes card.
Nice.
So.
Loosen up some space in my wallet.
I know.
I like it. Okay. Well, then we're going to take a quick commercial break right now. And as we go into the commercial break, I will be playing the latest single from Alter Bridge off their new album called AB3. I'm a big Alter Bridge fan. And like I mentioned earlier, we're doing a little more music stuff than we have in the past. And I'm going to play a portion of this song because I don't want all those leeches out there just ripping it right out of the show. So I'm not going to play it in its entirety. But I did listen to the entire album and I really dug it. So if you're an Alter Bridge fan or a Creed fan or that whole, a fan of that genre of music, I think you'll dig the album AB3. So check that out. Here's a little bit of the single Isolation, and we will be back in just a moment. Shop on Amazon.com. Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Great, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You've spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hi, this is John Schneider, you know, the Bo Duke guy, or the Smallville guy, Jonathan Kent, and you're listening to The Geek Generation. That's not my generation, that's your generation.
All right, we are back, and it is time to go right into the news block. We have a little bit more news than usual this week, just because there seems to be so much going on, and as much as I tried to avoid it, one of the reasons I started recording on the weekend instead of on a Wednesday is, for whatever reason, it seemed like big news stories would come out on Wednesday, and unavoidably, big news story on a Sunday of all days, as Warner Brothers Pictures and Legendary Pictures announced today that Henry Cavill has won the coveted role of Superman, the iconic superhero. The film will be directed by Zack Snyder, who stated, quote, "In the pantheon of superheroes, Superman is the most recognized and revered character of all time, and I am honored to be a part of his return to the big screen. I also join Warner Brothers Legendary and the producers in saying how excited we are about the casting of Henry. He is the perfect choice to don the cape and S-shield. Targeted for release in December 2012, the new Superman movie will be distributed worldwide by Warner Brothers Pictures. Thoughts?
Friggin' pumped. So when I read the news earlier today after you posted it on my wall,
yes,
the words that I said were, ooh, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because I knew that he had previously been in the running for the role for Superman Returns.
True.
When McGee was gonna...
Yeah, when actually, yeah, when McGee was attached to direct the last Superman movie.
Yep.
Henry Cavill had actually... Or Cavill, sorry. Or whatever it is.
When I looked up the phonetic pronunciation, it said, like, travel. So it's Cavill, I guess.
Oh, Cavill. Henry Cavill. He was actually cast as Superman. For McGee. Like, McGee picked him for the movie.
So he wasn't just in the running. He was the choice.
He was the choice. And then when McGee backed out and Bryan Singer came in and took over, they recast. And that's when they picked Brandon Routh. The funny thing about Henry Cavill.
Yes, that's it.
A few years back, he...
I like how you're saying this, by the way, like I didn't tell you this.
Well, I'm saying it because Rob doesn't know.
I know, but I told you this.
I know you did.
Okay.
Well, I could have also read it.
Would someone please just tell me? Someone tell me.
A couple years back, he was branded by some magazine as the unluckiest man in Hollywood because he lost out to the lead role in Batman Begins to Christian Bale.
Oh, really? I wasn't aware of that.
He auditioned for that. Okay. He lost out to the lead role in Casino Royale. He was going to be the new Bond.
Oh, my God.
He was going to be one Edward Cullen.
Really?
Stephanie
Meyer was very, very adamant that she wanted him to play Edward Cullen, but he was too old at the time.
He wasn't young enough.
Well, thank God he avoided that.
So he lost out.
No. One more. He lost out in Harry Potter to... Rob Pattinson as well.
Oh, so he lost out to that emo douche twice?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
That sucks.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited. I think when people heard that he was in the running or had actually been cast before, I think a lot of people were excited because he definitely looks the part.
Yep.
Apparently the Brits have cornered the market on all the most famous American superheroes.
I know, right?
You got Christian Bale, and then you got Andrew Garfield, and now you got... Henry Cavill. I think he's most known from being on The Tudors, and he was in the movie Stardust, which I never saw.
I liked it, but I don't remember him from it.
Yeah, so I think he also did a stint on like Guiding Light or some garbage like that too.
Hey, James Franco.
I know, but come on, let's be honest. He did it as a joke.
Yeah, he did.
So I'm excited. I mean, I'm thrilled to death that they didn't end up picking that jabroni from True Blood, Joe Manganiello or whatever his name is.
I only know him from One Tree Hill.
I only knew him from he played Flash Thompson in the first Spider-Man movie.
Right.
That's what I knew him from, and I just he's I don't know. I didn't see him. I don't know. I from the neck down he looked the part.
Yeah,
gigantic. But they need to go with somebody who can act. That is why the Chris Reeve movies were so successful, is because he was a friggin' Juilliard trained actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he made you believe in those movies that Superman and Clark Kent were two different people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's why those movies, well, at least the first two, that's why they were so good.
There's that scene in the Superman movie where he wants to tell Lois.
Yeah.
And he completely changes his demeanor and how his face looks, how he slouches.
Yeah. Oh, the room in the hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that scene.
Everything
is awesome.
Changes. Like, yeah, it's crazy, dude. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. And from what I understand, I actually really don't know, but I hope Cavill's got the chops to be able to pull it off. I thought Brandon Routh did okay. I mean, considering the fact that he'd like never acted before.
Yeah.
Really. But Cavill's seems to be a more seasoned actor, so maybe he'll do okay there.
Yeah, well, I'm not familiar with a ton of his acting work. He absolutely looks the part for sure.
Yeah, did you find out like
I did some research for your request.
What his measurements
he
are?
Is not all of his measurements, but he okay, is he is 6'1".
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so that's right, acceptable, I think.
He's no Scott Toomey.
He
isn't, no.
Just got to be over 6 feet.
According
to
the original Lois Lane, Margot
Chris Reeve
Kidder.
Is like 6'4". Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Margot Kidder said he was the exact size as Chris was when they started filming Superman.
When he auditioned.
When he auditioned.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was weird.
I also saw that a fan site...
Yeah.
A fan site states that Cavill's dream role was to portray Alexander the Great. Well, sorry, Henry, you're just going to have to settle for the most recognizable figure in the entire comic book universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next best thing.
It's not Alexander the Great, but, you know, it's Superman. The next story here, PlayStation reveals the next generation portable. Thursday in Tokyo, Sony Computer Entertainment Incorporated announced the next generation portable entertainment system, codename NGP. NGP will make its debut at the end of 2011, but here's everything you need to know right now. Here's some bullet points. It will have a multi-touch 5-inch organic light emitting display, or an OLED, for those familiar with the acronym, as the front display, a multi-touch pad on the rear of the device, two dual analog sticks, two cameras, a front and a rear. Software titles will be on small dedicated flash memory based cards. There are three motion sensors, a gyroscope, an accelerometer, and an electronic compass.
Wow.
It will have Wi-Fi and 3G network connectivity. I don't know how the 3G is working because I'm assuming that has to go on some sort of a carrier. PlayStation Network access, including live area, near, and activity log features, trophy support. Not entirely sure what those are yet, but. And NGP will be able to play PSP titles, minis, PS1 classics, video, and comics from the PlayStation Store. So this is a pretty hefty device.
It sounds like it can do quite a bit.
Yeah, it looks like it's almost not just an iPod competitor, but also a competitor of the mobile gaming market. It seems to be a little bit of everything except for a phone.
Yeah. Their main competitor would be the Nintendo. It's not the DS anymore. Is it something
else? It is the 3DS.
3DS, right. Are those really? Those must be really the only two mobile gaming devices other than people's cell phones.
Yeah, that seems to be pretty much it. And this one is way beefier than what Nintendo's offering. But Nintendo's always been kind of in the simpler, more youth-based category.
Yeah. Will it still be able to? Will it be backwards compatible with PSP movies?
I do not know. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't play. I don't even remember what that format's called.
I think it was just PSP. PSP movies.
They did. Do you mean the digital content or the discs?
The discs.
I don't. UMDs. That's what they were called.
Oh, that's right.
I don't believe they'll be playing UMDs, but I can't say that for a fact.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because that kind of throws, then you might, I don't know, that's weird.
They've been phasing them out anyway in favor of downloadable content anyway.
That's true.
Yeah. And actually, I believe that was the format that games were coming in, and this has an entirely new format for the video games. So yeah, I guess we'll have to wait for more specific information on that, but that was a big deal.
Is there a targeted release date?
Let's see. I don't believe there is. The end of 2011, not a specific date, but that's the range.
Christmas.
Yeah, of course.
Right on time.
Of course. Let's see. This was part of my geek out. 2K Games and Gearbox Software announced, not today, but in a few days ago, what will be a landmark date in gaming history. Legendary hero Duke Nukem will make his return in Duke Nukem Forever on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Windows PC on May 3rd, 2011. Quote, when I said goodbye to 3D Realms in the original Duke Nukem 3D in 1997, and soon after founded Gearbox Software, I never in my wildest dreams imagined that a day like today would come, said Randy Pitchford, president of Gearbox Software. Today I am proud, humbled, and even astonished to announce that the day is coming at last for all gamers to be a part of video game history. Duke Nukem Forever will launch worldwide this May. I am so excited about this. 14 years in the making.
Yeah. The last game was fun.
Yeah.
There was a certain part I couldn't ever get past, but...
Really?
I don't really remember. Yeah, I don't remember what it was. But I remember all the iconic lines that they borrowed from classic movies.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
For the groovy and...
Hail to the king, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
I enjoyed that old one. So, but is this? Did you say it's only going to be PC and PlayStation 3, or
it will be all three?
Windows. Yeah.
So it'll be Xbox as well.
Yes, it will.
Gangsta.
Yeah. Although I think I'm going with PC on this one.
Well, not me because I don't have a PC.
First person shooters. I prefer on the computer.
My brother does as well.
Yeah, they're much more precise. Unless it's PlayStation Move enabled, which I don't think it is, but. That's the only way they could get me to do that.
That would be entertaining for me to watch.
the PlayStation Move.
Yeah, you playing with the Move in a first-person shooter.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I can only imagine what that would look like.
Be like a TV show.
The Move is a ton of fun, by the way. We played at the birthday party.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I just saw, I was checking my Sony account today because I'm still waiting for iPad, and it is shipping out tomorrow, so yay.
What, you're getting an iPad?
Not an iPad, an iPad.
Oh, iPad.
Yes, which is a PlayStation Move game, yes.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. my iPad is shipping out tomorrow, finally.
Classic.
Yes. Let's see. Here we go. I friggin' love this story for whatever reason. I think it's just the anarchy that's going on and the rush that this movie has been placed in. But a ton of images for X-Men First Class have hit the internet lately, some of which director Matthew Vaughn is not too happy about. He said, quote, "I freaked out on them yesterday. I don't know where the hell that came from. I don't think it's a Fox image. It's not a pre-approved image. When I found out, I said, what the fuck is this shit? And Fox is running around trying to figure out what happened as well. I agree. It's like a bad Photoshop, which maybe it was by someone. It didn't reflect the movie. I was shocked when I saw it. I was like, Jesus Christ." That's all from the director of the movie.
That's funny.
Yeah. What the hell's going on?
Huh.
Now, did you look at all the images?
I remember seeing them when they first got posted, but I don't know which ones are in question.
The three in question are, it's three because two of them are zoomed in, but it's...
The one with the group?
Yes, it's the group costume shot, and then there were two zoomed in versions.
Yeah, it looks terrible. Oh, those, okay.
He was not happy about that.
Why are they standing like that?
I don't know.
Wow, yeah. Now, are they legit costumes? So, like...
Vaughn has said that while they're legit costumes, they're not 100% done yet, and they won't even show up until almost the end of the movie. Because this is really, like others, this is more of an origin story. They're just kind of forming the team and even coming up with the concept of a team. So to have the uniforms in from the beginning would be foolish in
his
mind. The one
with the four of them, like... with their right shoulders out, looks like some new iteration of a Star Trek show.
Yeah, because they got Beast in the back, and then Mystique, they look like aliens.
And they're in the costumes, the costumes that they're wearing look very jumpsuit Star Trek.
Yeah, the color scheme's pretty similar, too.
Right, at least they're going back to the classic yellow and blue.
Yeah.
Which is what January they originally
Jones,
started with.
Holy moly.
Yeah, right? I know, Emma Frost, that's the most accurate costume there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't really care. The costumes don't look horrible to me, but that image itself, I think you'll agree with me, Pix, is very, just does look like bad Photoshop. Something's off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, in fact, I might have my students fix that for a Photoshop project this semester.
Nice.
That'd be interesting. let's see. Entertainment Weekly is reporting that NBC has ordered David E. Kelly's Wonder Woman pilot. Originally, NBC was the last network to pass on the show, but the initial pass was more a result of executive reshuffling than the hefty licensing costs for bringing the character back to the screen. Whether they decide to go ahead and order a full season remains to be seen. So the back and forth is over now. The pilot has been picked up by NBC, and I would love to see the show get made and put into a full season. I'm surprised that someone like the CW wouldn't have jumped on this sooner because they're losing their flagship show in Smallville, and you would think they would want something along the lines to replace it.
That's true. I was thinking to myself that the only thing that would be interesting to me anyway, if they did, would be some kind of a live action Teen Titans show or something like that. I don't know if I said this to you before
yes,
or not.
You did.
Okay. I would have rather seen something like that, but I don't know. I mean, Wonder Woman's been off TV and movies for so long.
Yeah.
You might as well bring her back now. I'm interested to see who they'll cast as the title character.
Yeah, and just as a note for Hollywood, this is an okay time to reboot or remake because, like you said, it has been so long.
Yeah.
So, sure, let's see a Wonder Woman series.
Rob, have you been watching The Cape?
I have.
How is that going?
It's a mixed emotion. going on. Yeah. Have you been watching it at all or?
No.
No.
We had received so many negative reviews from people that we knew that we just passed on it.
Yeah.
I talked about this with them.
Yeah, I know you did.
All right.
I'm just wondering if they're moving into this like new superhero genre TV shows.
Well, of course.
It feels like, God, how do I describe it? It's like No Ordinary Family, which still I'm watching and I don't know why.
Which is like The Incredibles in real life.
Yeah, it's like they want superheroes involved, but they don't really know how to do it.
Mm.
Heroes was the right way.
Right.
The Cape and No Ordinary Family is the wrong way. I think the problem with No Ordinary Family is that nothing is that dangerous and everyone seems really naive and it's very unbelievable people have superpowers, but Heroes was more believable because it just felt real. No Ordinary Family has this like super hot lab technician that doesn't have powers that has a hard time finding a guy because she's into geeky stuff and makes references to geeky stuff all the time, but they seem incredibly forced. But it feels incredibly forced. Like it's not real. You know, she has no idea what she's talking about. it's like for the sake of making the reference. And then The Cape has a lot of things going for it, but it feels very jumpy and the way that they're presenting it is not so good. Like I mentioned before that they have a little text intro to each segment. Like it'll say The Cape versus the Carnival of Crime. So now you know what's coming in what's coming up in the next segment. So all the mystery is gone.
Yeah.
And they do like five or six of those in a like short episode. So
that's okay for something like The X-Files, where it's more so setting up the scene.
But if it was more ambiguous, I would be fine with it. But it's literally said like The Cape versus this, The Cape versus that. And like, I don't know. I just don't want to see that. It's too much. And it's kind of a jumpy show. It does jump around from here and there. I don't know. They need to do something. I feel like it is starting to go in a better direction, but it's four episodes in. I don't know where to go with it right now. Give it a shot if you're interested, but you're not going to miss much if you skip it. I'll leave it at that. but as far as the Wonder Woman show goes, I've said it before, and whether it goes in regards to a movie or a television show, I don't care. I'm officially starting the Bridget Regan for Wonder Woman movement right here and now. Mm-hmm. Let's get the word out and make this happen because she is the right cast for Wonder Woman. She recently had a child, so I don't know if she's going to be, willing to, take on something this probably time consuming. But if she's willing and able, she is the right cast for a Wonder Woman show or movie. So
I wonder,
make it happen.
Like how young they're going to go or whatever. I mean, have they said any details like that?
There are no details going on with this. As far as I know, they're going to do everything they can to ground it in reality, as most of the successful superhero stuff done.
Yeah.
But they don't want to lose the iconic qualities like the bracelets or the whip.
Right.
So that's all I've read about it. There's really no other details beyond that. Does it bore you that much?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
No, Scott got jackhammered in basketball this morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm very tired.
Get some caffeine in you.
I know.
Okay, this is the worst press release of all time that I'm about to read, but I'm going to read it anyway. Roaring to life through NBA and Studio 4°C's use of the Japanese animated artistry of anime, Thundercats characters Lion-O, Mumra, Panthro, Chitara, and others will spring off the screen with realistic cat-like characteristics inconceivable in previous incarnations. The new Thundercats will appeal to viewers who have loved the characters all their lives, as well as young newcomers to the franchise. A sweeping tale combining swords and science and boasting ferocious battles with the highest of stakes, the grand origin story of Prince Lion-O's ascension to the throne, and of those who would thwart his destiny at any cost, takes an epic dimension in the sharp new telling. As the forces of good and battle, good and evil battle each other in the quest for the fabled stones of power, Lion-O and his champions learn valuable lessons of loyalty, honor, and mortality in every episode. Now, most of the time I don't read press releases that long, but there are some glaring errors in there which make me considerably worried for this series.
Yeah.
First they said Mumra is going to spring off the screen with realistic cat-like characteristics. And if people remember the original Thundercats series, Mumra is the villain. who is a living mummy. So right. I'm pretty sure he's not going to have any cat-like characteristics. They glarely put in Mumra instead of Tigra, who's the last member of the team. That's a huge typo. And at the end of it, they said they'll learn valuable lessons of loyalty, honor, and mortality in every episode.
Wow.
Are characters dying in every single episode of the show?
Well, they're cats, so they each have 9 lives.
I guess so. They would have some interesting lessons of mortality. Clearly, they meant morality, because that's what the first show was all about.
Oh, there you go.
Because every episode was like He-Man, G.I. Joe, Thundercats. All those shows were made to sell action figures, and they right. had like a moral lesson in every episode. So I'm just worried that, I don't know, maybe it's just the promotion firm that's putting this stuff out that's making the errors, but that stuff should have been caught.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a big
deal. I just
deal.
Wanted to take this moment to briefly interject and state that Scott is afraid of the Fraggles.
Wait, what? Wait. A, what thought led you to that?
Well, you know, I'm thinking like 80s childhood TV.
Okay,
and then I'm thinking
okay.
Frag Rock.
And B, explain.
Dude, he's afraid of the Fraggles.
I used to have nightmares about one of the Fraggles like hiding under my crib when I was a kid. Or my bed, and I'm not afraid of them anymore. I'm freaking 30 years old nearly.
Dude, you're afraid of sharks still because of Jaws.
Well,
that's understandable.
That's different. But yeah, I was terrified of the Fraggles when I was a kid. So what?
Do you know how small the Fraggles are?
Well, it doesn't matter. When I was a kid, they were huge.
What, are they going to climb up your nose?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I never watched Thundercats when I was a kid.
No?
No, I wasn't into it. One of my college roommate loved Thundercats when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the sword. That was the only thing I thought was awesome.
Yes.
But I was never really into that cartoon myself.
The Sword of Omens. Give me sight beyond sight.
There you go.
It was awesome. But it is going back to their... I guess their roots are in anime. I never really knew that. But they are going back to that kind of look.
Hmm.
I thought the image looked fine. They're taking a few liberties. It makes sense to have Lion-O a little bit younger and Panther-O a little more of an older, wiser type guy. That's all cool with me.
Totes.
One of the things, too, that I did read, they're planning on fleshing out the characters a little more. They were kind of two-dimensional in the original series, and they want to give them better backstories so they're more relatable this time around. That's interesting. Last story, Silent Hill 8. Becomes Silent Hill Downpour. Silent Hill Downpour marks the series' return to PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 and brings a completely original storyline which follows Murphy Pendleton, a convict stranded in the foggy, malevolent world of Silent Hill. Pendleton begins the game lost and alone in the woods on the outskirts of the fabled town when his prison transport bus crashes. That's pretty much all they say.
Silent Hill is a game series that I never got into that I always wanted to. Maybe I'll pick this one up. From the images that you posted on the site, it looks a lot like Crud. I just played a game recently that was really good, and I forget what it was called.
Was it called Crud?
No, it should have been, though.
Yeah.
Alan Wake.
Oh, okay.
Alan Wake was a great game, and like the survival horror games are my favorite genre of video games to play, because I just get so immersed in them.
Yep,
it's not mindless drub like Call of Duty, which I love playing, but it's just like you just shoot people. You know what I mean?
Right.
I like these games that have stories and puzzles to solve and all that kind of stuff. Like Resident Evil 2 is my all-time favorite video game ever. And I really, really want them to remake it for a next-gen system, because I think it would look awesome and it would be fun to play again. They could tweak it here and there if they wanted to, but just from looking at this one, though, this one looks really cool.
Yeah.
So I might have to put this on the list.
Well, I'll say...
List means, by the way, our wedding registry.
Nice.
Toast my goats.
Silent Hill Downpour for congratulations on your happy marriage. I have to say, in regards to Silent Hill, I'm not a big player of the survival horror genre, just because I've said before, I'm not a fan of horror movies or things in it. But Silent Hill is, I know another co-host, Mike Wally Reinfleisch, is a big fan of the series, and he kind of introduced me to them. They're so good storyline-wise and everything that I would watch him play the game. Yeah. And even though I have no interest in playing them myself, mm-hmm. I actually went online and read like entire wikis on the stories and backgrounds of like games 1 through 3 or something, because they are amazing from a storytelling perspective. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's how good they are. So
I'll look forward to this one.
Yeah. So Silent Hills, I don't think there's no exact release date yet. We might have read that in the past, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
Mm.
But before we get into the last few things we're going to be talking about, I do want to remind the fans that the poll question this week is, what are your favorite iTouch or iPhone apps? Send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. Now, one of the things we wanted to do this week is talk about some of the Academy Award nominations that were out there, and I have to take a moment. I'm sure you guys have the things you want to talk about, but I'm going to take a moment here just to put out this statement and talk right to the Academy as they were. Academy, you neglected to give Christopher Nolan a nomination for Best Director. You neglected to nominate Scott Pilgrim vs. the World for anything, which could have easily been for editing, visual effects, or Edgar Wright for director. You neglected to nominate Daft Punk for Tron Legacy, because the music in that was amazing. And as a result, I hereby denounce the Academy of Motion Pictures of having any credibility in the movie industry from this point on. I am done with the Academy, and I am going to leave it at that.
He's done.
I'm done. So even when you come out with your awards this year, we will not be addressing them on the show. At least I won't. If my co-host would like to at that point, they're welcome to. But I am, at this point, officially done with the Academy Awards.
Whew.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm pissed. This is ridiculous. It was one thing.
I see Chris Nolan getting the snub is actually something that a lot of people are kind of aggravated with.
Yeah.
And Daft Punk not getting a nomination, I think, is another one. Not so much with Scott Pilgrim, although I do think, you know, visual effects or editing or something like that, but they'll never give a director they'll never give a director of a movie like that a nod.
Right. And it's ridiculous. They need to get their heads out of their asses and get off their elitist platforms.
Broaden their horizons,
right.
Perhaps.
Because even with how critically acclaimed The Dark Knight was,
yeah,
it was not celebrated by the Academy.
Yeah. I am pretty thrilled with all the love that True Grit is getting.
That's one movie I have not seen yet.
It's very, very good. Golden Globes I don't even think True Grit was nominated for anything in the Golden Globes. The only Best Picture nominee I haven't seen The Kids Are All Right. Meg saw it. She thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't see The King's Speech, but everybody I know that has seen it says it's
everyone is
incredible.
Raving about it.
Yeah. And Winter's Bone I didn't see. But those are the only three that I haven't seen. All the other ones I've seen, and I think they're all worthy of the nomination.
By the way, Jennifer Lawrence, that was nominated for the Globe for Winter's Bone, is Mystique in First Class.
Oh, cool.
The thing that really, that I noticed that was sort of bothersome is in the scores.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep.
Because there are two, quote unquote, we'll call them scores, which should really be soundtracks. You know, it's obvious, you and I have discussed this before, but it's obvious that the theme from Inception is sort of like a sampling of another song.
Right.
And what song did you say, Scott, was in
Social Network?
Tchaikovsky.
A song from Fantasia?
Yeah. So how that's original, I don't know.
Mm.
I feel like they're sort of stretching the lines a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
I always thought that if a score contained any unoriginal pieces, it was disqualified.
Right.
apparently that's not the case this year, though, because Inception and Social Network are both nominated, and both of them have pieces of music that were written by other people other than the ones that are listed as the composers on the award nomination.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong, both scores are fantastic, but I didn't think that they
They're not original.
Yeah, and the three, like, both of them were nominated in the Golden Globe, but the Golden Globe doesn't say best original score, it just says best score. So that's why I thought they could get away with it.
Good point.
But Social Network score is incredible. I listen to it all the time.
Yeah.
I actually prefer the Hans Zimmer score for Sherlock Holmes than I do for Inception. And he's actually nominated for both for the Grammy Awards.
Hmm.
Because I just think that the score from Sherlock Holmes was so innovative, the way he purposefully bought a broken piano to be able to mimic that type of music. I mean, not that I'm saying that I didn't like the score for Inception, but again, it's not original.
Wacky.
Like they have, for example, I'm sorry, not to harp on this.
No, go ahead.
They have adapted. No, they have, for a category, they have best adapted screenplay, and they have best original screenplay.
Okay.
Because there's a difference.
Sure.
So you could have a soundtrack versus score or something like that, something to...
Or just best score and then best original score.
Right.
Just do something like that.
Yeah, they could, absolutely.
I will say that I'm happy that Iron Man got a nomination.
Oh, yeah, for visual effects.
Visual effects.
It is in there somewhere.
Toy Story 3 gets the annual Pixar double nomination for best film and best animated film.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a moment? Because I'm a little unhappy with three pictures only be nominated for animated feature film.
Is that the limit that they put on it?
I don't think there is a limit.
There's no limit.
Well, I mean, before they expanded it to 10, it used to just be five.
No. There used to be, like, all the Nickelodeon films would get nominated.
Oh, okay.
Right. But even if it's five, that's only three.
Yeah.
Right.
I think five is the limit in almost any category except for Best Picture. So why not fill it up?
I don't know.
Weird.
It's not like there were where's Despicable Me? Where's Tangled?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe they didn't think they were good enough. I don't know.
They can go screw.
That's my personal beef with the Academy is how little they recognize A, comedy, and B, animation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where film is going.
Well, yeah, feels so elitist to
it does
to skip over those things,
because to say that a comedy film cannot be as well written or well acted as a drama is ridiculous,
right?
And
isn't it already telling us that Toy Story 3 is going to win animated feature film because it's the only one in that category nominated for Best Picture?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of even having other nominees if that's the case?
Exactly.
Like, how funny would it be if How to Train Your Dragon wins animated feature film and you're like, well, what the hell? Why didn't that get nominated for Best Picture? So
right.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That would be weird.
I almost think they should just decide that beforehand, and whatever the winner of the animated feature film category is automatically gets thrown into the Best Picture. They have enough of those to go around at this point.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Why not do that from,
Scott,
like, every genre?
Scott still hasn't seen the Night and Day, the short that Pixar did.
Oh, that was great.
Wasn't it?
It was great. From a design perspective, that was absolutely amazing. I can see how the general populace might be, like, just amused by it. But if you think about what they did technically, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Their shorts have been fantastic lately.
Oh, they're always fantastic.
I still love, what was it called? Presto.
Yeah,
with the bunny, then the magician.
Oh, that was a good one.
That's probably my favorite one. That was amazing.
That was before Wall-E, right?
Yeah, loved it. Any other Academy Award thoughts?
No, I don't think so. I was also a little bummed that The Town kind of got snubbed. I mean, it wasn't, you know, I thought it was one of the best movies of the year, but, you know, I don't know. Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
He's the big thing now. So at least he got a nomination, but it would have been nice to see Affleck get like a Best Director nom, even though I knew it wasn't going to happen. It would have been nice to see them included in Best Picture of the Year, but what can you do?
While we're on the topic, let me just throw this out there. I've already given my top 10 movies of the year, clearly.
Yeah.
My number one was Inception. What would you two pick for your number one movies?
I picked the Social Network.
Okay. So you think that's very obviously deserving of the Golden Globe then?
Yeah.
I don't, it's difficult for me to pick a top.
She didn't see a lot of them too.
No. Oh, okay.
It's really cliche for me to say Toy Story 3.
It is, but I would accept
honestly,
it.
Honestly, in terms of enjoyment purposes,
yep.
I enjoyed Catfish.
Catfish was very good.
It was very good.
Yeah, no nominations.
Yeah,
no.
Now there's a lot of
controversy
people
as to whether or not it's legit.
Right, and I don't think it should matter.
Right, and there you go again, Academy.
Hmm.
You can have nominations for scores that have music that was not written by those people,
mm-hmm.
but a documentary that you think may not be real.
And Chuds. Doesn't that make it that much more amazing?
Right? Hello, I mean,
if they faked that, that's amazing.
It's like how when Blair Witch came out, and do you remember what that was like?
Right.
When that film came out, it was the first of its kind, really, to be a mockumentary.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And when you found out that that wasn't all real, it was crazy.
Mm.
Although I think I had heard beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in seeing how the hosting goes.
Yes.
I mean, I know you will not be covering it. But Clownface and James Franco.
Oh, stop it. Her name is Titties, by the way.
No.
Oh, shit.
I read an article recently about how Neil Patrick Harris has ruined hosting for any award
because
show.
He's amazing at it.
Because he's amazing, yeah.
So why is he not hosting everything?
Even when they had Alec Baldwin hosting with Steve Martin, it wasn't good enough as NPH.
Can I throw out another name that I think would be maybe not as good, but up to that level?
Sure.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd love him.
If you've watched him host SNL,
yes.
He has that kind of personality that he would
His
be amazing.
His enthusiasm
when
he hosted SNL was like unparalleled.
I was so happy for him just watching it.
Yeah.
Because you could
he's come such a long way.
Yeah, and you can see how much he appreciated being there.
Yeah.
So, and he does have that, like, exuberant personality to where he'll go up there and sing the songs like Neil Patrick Harris would. He would go up and do the skits with a good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
He would be amazing at it.
I mean, Hugh Jackman did the same thing.
Right, and he has that same background, that whole, like,
musical theater.
That's
kind of
what
stuff.
They need. They need someone that can hit all those different points of entertainment and do them
Spacey
well.
Kevin Spacey would be pretty good.
That would be interesting.
Because he did, he did that
so
movie,
many great
the Bobby Darin movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and he does great impersonations, and he's just, if you ever watch him do interviews and talk shows, he's just a very engaging, like, really funny guy.
Yeah.
And, he's got the musical theater part down, too, so I don't think he'd ever want to do it, but I think he'd be pretty good.
Yeah. I think they're going to run into some interesting situations by having two hosts that are not going to be favorable, necessarily.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Young hosts at that.
Mm. Yeah.
One who is nominated, one who's
not.
That's
the thing. They're trying to cater to the young audience.
It's like kicking out Jerry Springer and bringing in Nick Cannon, if you will.
Oh, God.
And no, I don't watch that show either. I know that from Howard Stern. Thank you very much. By the way, I listened to a Jerry Springer on Howard Stern interview this week, and I have a whole new appreciation for that guy.
Springer's the man.
He is. He is a really intelligent, entertaining, humble guy. And I would have thought none of those things from the perception that he gets from his show and everything.
Yeah, well, it's a paycheck.
Yeah, so newfound
That's
respect
it.
For Jerry Springer. On that note, the Razzie Awards, which are now my new official awards replacing the Academy. There seems to be some similar themes going on. For those of you who don't know what the Razzie Awards are, they are
raspberries.
They are the awards for the worst raspberries of the year. the most terrible categories. So I thought we'd take a look at just a few of these to see if, A, we saw any of these and had to subject
ourselves.
Sex
in the City, the entire cast being nominated as the worst actress. That's hysterical.
That's
pretty funny.
Love it.
See, the best thing about the Razzies is just getting a few laughs out of it. Who cares what actually wins? It's just about being nominated.
And poor Jessica Alba.
I know. worst picture. The Bounty Hunter. That was terrible. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I didn't see it.
No.
It was pretty horrible. The Last Airbender?
No.
It was very flat, but I don't necessarily think it should be in the worst picture category. Sex in the City 2, I did not see.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
And I can say that as someone who loved the show.
Mm. Yeah.
Hated the ending of the first movie.
Really?
And the second movie, yes. Because no girl, I'm sorry, I don't mean to, you know, take this to a Dr. Drew level, but no girl ends up with the guy who has been an asshole for like 20 years and then suddenly changes his mind and is like, oh, I love you.
Right.
Yeah, he leaves her at the altar like halfway through the first movie too, which is total horseshit. Like, yeah.
I'm sorry, but if Scott left me at the altar, we would not be getting back together after that.
Yeah.
It's totally, totally unrealistic.
And then in the second one, they go to the Middle East.
Dubai. They go to Dubai.
They go to Dubai, yeah. And the whole movie takes place in the desert.
So dumb. Didn't you make me watch? Did we watch the whole thing? Did I watch the whole thing?
I don't know. That's
I know I watched
at
least half of it.
For you to reveal to all of the men listening.
Who cares? I don't care. I watch whatever I want, motherfucker.
I already said I watch One Tree Hill, so he's not going to get much worse than that.
That's
yeah.
true.
I think I at least watch half of it. No, it's garbage. It's total garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think that
I
should win
seen
everything.
It, but, the Twilight Saga Eclipse. That is on
Meg
the worst
makes me
picture.
Watch those movies. I find them entertaining, whatever.
Okay. I've only seen the first so far, but I do plan on watching the others, even if just for material for this show.
I will say that the horrible acting was a little bit more on point in the last one.
Well, they also had some actual actors in it, like Dakota Fanning.
Yeah.
And Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, right.
And the last one was Vampires Suck, which is a Twilight parody.
That's pretty funny that the actual movie and the movie that parodies it are nominated
right.
for a worst movie category. That's kind of funny.
I love that. Worst actor.
Here we go.
Jack Black in Gulliver's Travels. Didn't see it.
I didn't plan on it.
Looked terrible. Gerard Butler in The Bounty Hunter. See, I don't think this is the problem with their best and worst actor things. I don't think he was a bad actor in it. I think it was just
a horrible
movie. Yeah, he did what they wanted him to do. But he should have...
Same with Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
He doesn't... He can't... I don't want him doing these kinds of movies.
I don't either. He's a badass.
He's terrible in anything not named 300. So
have
I'd
you
rather
seen
see
Gamer?
Him in some more action. I didn't see Gamer, but I'd rather see him in more action movies.
Or Law Abiding Citizen.
I mean,
was awesome too.
Yep.
It seems like right now he's just trying to expand his fan base and marketability, much like The Rock did when The Rock did all those family films in a row.
Yep.
And now he starred in that movie Faster, and he's going to be in Fast and Furious 5.
Yep.
So thankfully, The Rock got all the family stuff out of his system, and now he's back to doing badass action flicks. That's what Gerard Butler needs to do.
Say what you want. I own the game plan. Okay.
I didn't see any of those.
Oh, I like Game Plan. Tooth Fairy was not good though. I'm gonna keep going.
Kutch.
Oh, the
Ashton Kutcher, Killers and
Kutch.
Valentine's Day.
But those movies were both
terrible.
Well, Killers was pretty.
Killers
bad.
Was okay. It was just drawn out. It could have been like an episode of a TV show.
Agreed.
It was super long.
It was really long.
How is Valentine's Day not nominated for Worst Picture?
I don't know.
That was
Valentine's
pretty
Day be
terrible.
Nominated for Worst Picture just because there's like 50 celebrities in it and the movie still sucks.
Right.
Well, see what they're trying to do now is because Love Actually
yep.
did it first with a Christmas theme movie and a lot of different characters interwoven together and, a lot of big name celebrities.
Yeah.
And now they're doing it with all of
Valentine's
Day. They're
doing a New Year's Day.
They're doing a New Year's Eve.
Well, yeah, that's the sequel actually to
It reminds me of back in the 80s when all horror movies were fucking based on a holiday.
Right.
It's aggravating, like April Fool's Day. Give me a break.
Labor Day.
Yeah, exactly. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Massacre.
Yeah.
And then the last two are Twilight's Taylor Lautner and Robert Pattinson. So I think it's funny when they nominate someone for multiple movies.
Yeah. I want to see these guys in something other than Twilight. And oh, I know Taylor Lautner's got one. Well, I want to see him in, you know, Taylor Lautner's got one coming out.
Do you know what he's going to be in soon? Stretch Armstrong.
I did know that, but he's in another movie that is like, he gets mistaken for somebody. I don't know, but he gets to kick ass in it. And that's what I want to see him do, because I really honestly think that he's going to be like the next big action star.
Interesting.
Because he's got like years and years of martial arts experience.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly Rob Pattinson is what's the word I'm looking for?
Role stealer.
He's making a fist punching gesture right now.
He's campaigning really hard to play Jeff Buckley in a Jeff Buckley biopic.
I heard that as well. Yeah,
I could see that.
So I'd like to see him in that.
And we all know that if you portray a musician, you get an award nomination.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. And he himself is a musician. So don't ask me why I know that, please.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Oh, so that means that the Edward Cullen action figure will be in our living room.
Yes, it will. Let's be honest, the Edward Cullen action figure that you bought me.
Because you asked me to.
Well, I was kind of joking about it, but whatever.
I'm going to, for the sake of your masculinity, I'm going to keep moving.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Worst actress, Jennifer Aniston. Yeah. Miley Cyrus. Have you seen the Miley Cyrus sketches on SNL?
Yeah, they're hilarious. We love them.
Oh, they're so freaking funny.
That girl that they added this season who does the Miley Cyrus is hilarious in everything she does.
Yeah, and regardless of what you want to say about Anne Hathaway, Meg, she did an amazing impression of Katie Holmes.
She did, actually.
She did, yeah, she did.
Yeah. Let's see, Sarah Jessica Parker. Yeah, the entire cast of Sex and the City 2 is nominated for Worst Actress. I love that. Megan Fox for Jonah Hex. I think that's almost unnecessary because she really was barely in it.
I can't believe that Jonah Hex didn't get nominated for Worst Movie.
I know.
For everybody I know that saw it, said it was garbage.
And then Kristen Stewart for Twilight.
I love Kristen Stewart. I don't care what anyone says.
Well, there's fake Kristen Stewart.
Bootleg Kristen
Stewart. Bootleg Kristen Stewart.
Who's blonde, I think, right?
Yes, she was in The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yep.
And she is way hotter and way better of an actress.
Wait, yeah. Kristen Stewart was in The Sorcerer's Apprentice?
No. Bootleg Kristen Stewart.
Bootleg Kristen Stewart was in The Sorcerer's
Who's
Apprentice.
Who's bootleg Kristen Stewart?
I'm looking her
He's
up right
looking
now.
Looking it up.
Okay.
She looks just like Kristen Stewart, but she's blonde.
Yeah, she's a spitting image, Rob.
Right. I did see The Sorcerer's Apprentice, so I know what you're talking about. But
her name is Teresa Palmer.
Yeah.
I feel like she's been in something else.
She has been.
Yep, she's been in.
She's coming. She's going to be in I Am Number 4.
Oh,
number
okay.
Six.
Yeah.
She's in Take Me Home Tonight.
Wolf Creek, The Grudge 2. That's pretty much it. She actually really hasn't been in a lot. But yeah, she's totally Kristen Stewart bootleg, the bootleg version.
Perhaps the better version.
We have things like that for actors.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Like on Supernatural, the dad on Supernatural.
Oh, yeah, he's a bootleg Javier Bardem.
Yep.
I think you might have just created the new game we start playing here.
Nice.
We're going to start playing bootleg and see if people can come up with bootlegs for any given people.
It's classic.
That'd be interesting. Now, does bootleg suggest that they're a lesser version or just another version?
Yes.
A lesser,
either lesser known or lesser talented or lesser good looking.
Okay, because I would argue that Teresa Palmer might be a bootleg version, but she might be a better actress.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, right. But she's just less known, thereby making her the bootleg.
Yep.
Okay, interesting qualifications. I like this. this is interesting.
Epic.
Let's see what else we have here. I don't want to go into supporting because...
I like this one. Worst eye gouging misuse.
Yes,
of 3D.
I love that.
That's classic.
Yeah. Have you seen any of these? Cats and Dogs 2?
Clash of the Titans was so terrible.
Yes, I agree.
This is coming from somebody who grew up on the original and loved it, even though it's freaking claymation.
Yep.
I don't care. It's awesome. And the new one was just terrible. And I'm aggravated that they're even going to do a sequel because...
I agree.
You know, whatever. Go to hell.
Last Airbender, I didn't see in 3D, so I wouldn't know if it was eye gouging.
It was Nutcracker 3D. What the hell is that?
I guess I'm assuming it was a Christmas movie. Well, unless dumb. It was a Christmas Scott's horror movie. That sounds like a horror movie, the Nutcracker.
Piranha 3D.
Oh, yeah, I love Piranha 3D.
Yeah, but that's not a misuse of 3D. That was.
No, I know.
Yeah.
He loved it.
And see, I disagree that Saw 3D should be in this category, even though I didn't see Saw 3D. I don't think it's a misuse of 3D. It was a 3D movie that blatantly took advantage of being 3D.
Hmm.
That doesn't mean it's a misuse.
Right.
Like Clash of the Titans was converted after the fact.
Yeah.
Thereby making it a horrible misuse.
Yeah.
But Saw 3D was intended to be exploitive of the 3D technology. Hmm. That'd be like saying Jackass 3D was misusing it, but that was the whole point.
Right. I was actually, I know this is skipping ahead a little bit, but I was reading an article about who has been nominated the most times for Razzies.
Oh, yeah?
And they actually like to pick on Sylvester Stallone a lot.
I wonder why that is.
It's weird.
Don't throw Mama from the train.
Yeah, but that's... I like these worst screen couple, worst screen ensemble.
Yeah, see, the
Josh
creative
Brolin's
the creative
face
companies.
And Megan Fox's accent and Jonah Hex. That's hilarious.
See, I didn't think Josh Brolin's face was done that poorly.
No, I thought it looked pretty good.
He looked like Jonah Hex. It was just obnoxious to watch him talk.
Yeah.
Of course, Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler, that was terrible. The ensembles, Last Airbender. Again, it was a very flat movie, but I don't think it was necessarily a result of the entire cast.
It's the same movies basically nominated for everything.
Yeah, it is. They kind of pick like five or six movies to pick on, and that's pretty much it. I'm trying to look for something that's original that we really haven't run into yet here.
Yeah. Who do you think's going to show up this year to accept their award? Do you think any of them will?
Oh, that's true. That's always interesting.
I was only just reading in the comments because somebody was just like, I think it's also important to have a sense of humor about them, i.e. Halle Berry's acceptance speech for Catwoman.
Right.
Did Kutcher show up one year?
Did he?
I thought he did, maybe.
I thought Clooney did.
Who's got a good enough sense of humor on this list to actually accept it?
Clooney has publicly apologized for playing
Batman. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if anybody on this list were going to accept it and have a good sense about it, it would be... I would say Rob Schneider, but I don't think he's going to admit that Grown Ups was a bad movie.
Okay, no. I got the list.
Of people Sandra that have Bullock. Shown up?
Sandra Bullock accepted her award, her worst actress award in All About Steve.
Oh my god.
And it was actually, but it was the day before she won the Oscar for Best Actress in The Blind Side.
That's hysterical, though.
Halle Berry for Catwoman.
Yeah.
Tom Green showed up for the Razzie for Worst Picture for Freddy Got Fingered.
Of course he would.
That's funny. It wasn't caught on tape, but in 1995, director Paul Verhoeven became the first celebrity to attend the Razzies when Showgirls was nominated for a record 13 awards.
Ha! And, see, I haven't actually seen that movie, but I've heard it's good, considering like what people thought of it when it came out.
And then I guess it looks Bill Cosby.
He accepted one?
He won three Razzies for Worst Picture, Worst Screenplay, and Worst Actor for Leonard Part 6 in 1988.
Oh my god, I have no idea what that even is.
Yep, he was not happy with the cheap $1.97 statue, he said.
I'm trying to think. You want to know what? I think Gerard Butler would actually be someone who would go and accept it.
Yeah, he might do it. Or Josh Brolin might.
Yeah.
He's kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of dude. Jack Black, maybe?
No.
I don't think you Jack don't think Black wants to admit that was bad.
You know what? Because he was really excited about that movie.
Yeah.
So. Any of the women?
No.
But you want to know what? Jack Black might go accept it just as a promotion for Kung Fu Panda 2.
Yeah.
He might. I think it would be hysterical if someone like Liza Minnelli showed up and accepted her Worst Supporting Actress one.
Or Streisand.
And just like... But I think Liza Minnelli wouldn't even understand it wasn't like an award you don't want to win. And she'd just be like, oh, thank you so much.
Oh, too funny.
Yeah, this is an interesting list. Billy Ray Cyrus, George Lopez. I don't know. Most of these people don't want to admit, I don't think, that their movie was bad.
Yeah.
See, I can see like the entire cast of Sex and the City 2 showing up and accepting it together because then it's like a group thing and it's not as painful.
That would be funny. That would be very funny.
Yeah. But they'll probably all be like hammered and doing it. And, yeah. It's a ward. Whatever. Oh, wait. Worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel? We have to look at this one.
Yeah, it's like all the same that are nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, with the exception of Clash of the Titans.
Why is The Last Airbender there?
It's not a prequel. Because it's based on a cartoon.
I guess. But I don't think it really necessarily fits into any of those. It's not really a remake. It's a movie version of a show. I don't know.
Mm. Well, it was originally supposed to be called Avatar until James Cameron decided that he owned the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think Last Airbender should be in that category per their requirements.
But you should call them up and let them know.
Yeah. I don't think I care about the Razzies that much.
Yeah.
I really have nothing additional to add to that. All right. Well, I think we've been going on for a while here, so I think it's a good time to start wrapping it up. Do either of you have a final thought or something you would like to plug?
I have a plug.
Go for it.
Well, I don't think that I should be plugging it because one of the co-hosts who will remain nameless hates me. So
wait,
I'm just going to let Scott plug this particular podcast instead.
What is going on?
It's okay. It's a mutual love-hate relationship.
Yep.
Okay.
There are no borders or boundaries that define it.
I'm so confused right now.
Dangerous Memories Podcast. Everybody listen.
You were great on the last episode, by the way, Scott.
Well, thank you very much.
Nice job.
But on a serious note, I would like to plug Telltale Games. Which I know you like, Rob.
I do like Telltale Games. I'm very excited to play Back to the Future.
My friend Seg is a developer there, and he helped develop the latest release of Strong Bad.
Nice.
Strong Bad game. And
he probably should come on the show at some point.
Yes, he should. And he is going to be speaking at PAX East.
Really?
Yes.
I am hoping to be at PAX East. So.
Yeah. So you can check them out there.
Awesome.
I have no plugs.
Okay. Just check. Well, then, as I always say to the audience, please share the show or even just the articles on the site with your friends. You want to go to the site at www.thegeekgeneration.com. There is that Escape the Fate Xbox contest going on right now. So check that out in the sidebar. Also in the sidebar is a button to subscribe to this show in iTunes. If you would like to, while you are there, please rate the show and write a review while you're in the iTunes store. There's also a donation button that you can use to send me money. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you would like us to discuss on a future show, send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you would like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And lastly, as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can be found on our site. So, the end of this little three-way experiment is pretty much over. So thank you,
terrible.
Scott and
good
Meg.
I'm calling it the Triforce.
The Triforce.
Like Legend of Zelda.
Oh my god. Was that just an out of UCK?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not a Zelda fan?
I had fun.
Oh, okay. That wasn't really the question, but I'll take it.
Oh.
Well, then, we will see you all next time. Later.